It's another guitarist here on Radio Chatter. Last week, of course, Zachy Vengeance from Avenged Sevenfold, Richie Kotzen. We've had Satchel, John 5. Today, Bill Leverty from the band Firehouse. It's his turn to talk about the band, their touring schedule, the festival dates they're playing, as well as the climate of rock and roll music back in the early 1990s when they broke. We talk about what he does between tour dates, NHL hockey, who would be in his musical supergroup, and a ton more today with Bill Leverty from Firehouse.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1, and liftoff.
This is Radio Chatter with WRIF's own Meltdown.
As always, thank you guys so much for checking out Radio Chatter. I do appreciate it. I know I say that every single week, but let's face it, there's tons of podcasts out there, many of them crappy. And the fact that you chose to listen to this one, I really appreciate it. Thank you guys so much for that. Like I said in the intro, if you guys are fans of Guitar Heroes, guitarists, whatnot, definitely check out some of my previous interviews with Satchel from Steel Panther, who's just, he's amazing on guitar. John 5, please spare me the details. This guy is so good. I saw him twice in the last year just doing his solo stuff. He's awesome. Talked with him. As well as Zachy Vengeance from Avenged Sevenfold. Had a great conversation with him last week. And Richie Kotzen as well. And today, no exception, another great guitar player, Bill Leverty from the band Firehouse. We connected over Twitter. I just happened to see him come up in my feed or, people you might want to follow or something along those lines. And I started following him. So he started following me back and messaged me that he actually married a girl from Southeast Michigan. That he's a huge Red Wings fan. Well, anyone that knows me knows that I can't go, a couple minutes without talking about hockey with somebody. And so I'm like, dude, we got to get on the podcast. I got to find out what's going on with Firehouse, talk about the early days of the band, all sorts of stuff. So that's exactly what we did. We set it up via the messaging back and forth on our Twitter. And here's what the conversation sounded like. I haven't talked to Bill in years, and I thanked him for reconnecting with me.
Yeah, Meltdown. Thanks for having me on the show, bud.
Yeah, no problem. The last time I talked to you in person, you guys, I think, were doing a radio junket. You guys were going around the country, and I think you were bringing around the single Reach for the Sky, if I'm not mistaken. And I'll never forget, you guys were in the studio, and near the end of the song, about 30 seconds near the end of the song, there's a false ending. And, of course, I jumped because I didn't know what was going on. And I think you guys said all the DJs did the same thing.
Yeah, we threw that curveball at you. Yeah, man, that happened a lot. That's fun, man. That's good times.
So anyways, yeah, we reconnected on Twitter, and you said, hey, man, I married a girl from Southeast Michigan. I'm a big Red Wings fan. Now, listen, I could sit here and talk to you about hockey all day long. I mean, for hours, but just real fast. You've been to Joe Louis Arena. You've seen the game. You've seen the Wings play live and the whole thing or what?
Well, unfortunately, I've never seen them play live in the Joe. I have seen them in Tampa when I was living there.
Okay.
But I didn't get to see, I saw them with Stevie Y and in that era. But I didn't get to go to the Joe, and I guess the Joe is going to be no longer when they build the new arena. But hopefully I'll get to see them there.
Yeah, they just closed it down. They had their last game there at the end of the season. It's kind of cool that they didn't make the playoffs this year. I mean, it sucks, but it's kind of cool because at least they got to celebrate the last game at Joe Louis Arena, and then that's it. They had a big celebration for hours afterwards with all sorts of guys, including Stevie Y and Lindstrom, and all these guys came back to town. But so your wife is from Southeast Michigan then, eh?
Yeah, man. And I always joke around that's why I marry her, because she's a Red Wings fan, and so is all her family. But yeah, it's great going back for holidays there, because there's Thanksgiving or Christmas, there's always a Red Wings game on, and everybody gets around and we watch it and love the Wings.
Well, next time you come to town, you'll have to bring your gear and I'll have to take you to play hockey.
No, that'd be awesome, man.
Now,
yeah.
You play, right? You play a little bit?
Yeah, I played for, I'm not playing right now. I kind of retired. I hate using that word, but I hung my skates up, so to speak, 2 years ago after that last year of playing in a league here. It was just, you get beaten up every night, and then the next morning I have to wake up at 3 o'clock to fly out to go do a gig. And I figured I made it this far without any major injuries to my hands. I had to have my shoulder operated on when I took a hit into the boards and I wasn't wearing shoulder pads. And so, but I got that rotator cuff surgery done, and my shoulder's 100%. But I just figured, you know, I need to go ahead and chill out a little bit and then just play pickup games and just with cool, mellow people who aren't thinking that the scouts are up in the stands to pick them up. It's just going out for fun and exercise.
That's all I play is pickup games. All guys I know, some ex-NHL guys, ex-college guys, and Robbie Merrill from the band Godsmack, whenever he comes to town, I pick him up. We go play the guys from Theory of a Dead Man play. So hockey in the rock and roll world is not that foreign.
Yeah, we played a gig with the Godsmack guys, and Robbie's a really cool dude. I've got to talk with him. I know they're all from Boston, and I'm not a big fan of the Bruins, although I love the fans there. But you know, now that Lucic is gone, I like the Bruins a little bit better. But still, you got to get around Zdeno Chara, and with a reach like that, I mean, how are you gonna get around him?
Yeah, especially
it'd be great if he was on our team.
Yeah, right. Especially the guy my size. I'm 5'6", but you know, Lucic is off in Edmonton now. And dude, here you go. You're getting me off on hockey. See, stop. With the hockey.
I was just going to say, you're 5 foot whatever, and Zdeno Chara is like, what, 7'14"?
Yeah, right, exactly. Something along those lines. But anyways, well, like I said, we could talk about hockey all day long, but let's get into Firehouse, and we'll get into what you got going on now. But first, I was driving into work today, and I'm listening to the debut CD, which I haven't listened to in quite a while, and I think I hashtagged one of the messages to you, Shake and Tumble, because that's like one of my favorite songs from you guys. But I was thinking to myself, I'm trying to think of a band that broke when you guys did, because you guys weren't really an 80s band. You guys broke in 1990, and right after that, the chainsaw of grunge came around. Is there any other bands that were in your situation at that time?
You know, it's an interesting question, but as I look back, I think we were like one of the last of the melodic rock band era bands that actually got played on MTV and got songs on the radio and all that. We came out at the end of 1990 also, September of 1990. First single didn't really actually get released until 91. And so, but Shake and Tumble, you know, oddly enough, that did get released to metal radio first. And it wasn't really a first single because we didn't do a video, but they gave it to a station called Z-Rock that was pumped out of Dallas and syndicated to about 40 stations around the country. Mm-hmm. So the cool thing about that was that we when the song, you know, got the airplay and got the fan reaction at Z-Rock and started, you know, getting airplay there, we could go out and do 40 gigs around the country. So we did. We rented the cheapest bus that was available. It had holes in it. And we didn't care. We just jumped in there and we went out and we played every venue in the town where there was a Z-Rock because we were getting airplay.
Yeah, radio stations really helped a lot. And there's some bands that still do a lot of radio station stuff. Just off the top of my head, the guys from Shinedown have always been great to radio. And in return, I think that radio stations really helped them along as well.
It doesn't hurt that they're an awesome band as well.
Yeah.
And they write great songs.
Yeah, no question about that.
Awesome band.
So you guys are coming along. You know, you got Shake and Tumble, you know, all the singles, and of course, A Love of a Lifetime and the whole thing. And then grunge comes along. And I mean, what kind of stuff is going on in the band at that time?
Well, we just decided we wanted to stay true to our roots. I mean, we wanted to continue to write music that we would love to play every night. We were listening to the radio, and we were, I'm sure, influenced by some of the darker kind of sounding stuff that was going on at the time, but we still wrote and recorded songs that we loved. And, you know, by the time our third record we were in the studio recording our third record with Ron Nevison producing, and a lot of other bands had put their albums out, and they had not really done well. And it wasn't really that fans didn't like him. It's just the fans didn't know about the new record that came out by those bands because MTV wasn't playing it and the radio wasn't playing it. So we were a little nervous thinking, well, we're going to put this out and it's going to be a abysmal failure. But we wound up having a top 30 hit off of that third album at a time where, you know, the industry was pretty hostile to bands like us. So we were able to still go out and tour. We were able to go overseas and kind of sustain our business and keep going. So during that tough time, you know, it was definitely tough, but we were able to still go. So we're real thankful for that.
Yeah, when that record came out, you guys were still doing really well in Japan and stuff, right?
Actually, yeah. I mean, we decided to go play some of the other places in Southeast Asia that that we thought we could maybe make some friends over there. And so we went to Indonesia, and we went to Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, Korea. I'm sure I'm missing a couple of countries in that region, but we went to every country in that region, and we had big crowds. And then, you know, we'd come back here if we weren't supporting somebody else, like we did the Poison tour that year. So they had huge crowds. You know, we were just really a part of the big party. You know, but when we were playing on our own, it was a much smaller crowd, obviously. But we went into the studio to record our fourth album. It was called Good Acoustics. It was an acoustic recording where we recorded some new songs acoustically, and we re-recorded a couple of our old songs acoustically. And we went back over to Asia, and that album went gold in five or six countries over there. And over here, the record company didn't put one penny into promoting it.
Mm.
So that was the beginning of our asking to be released from our contract with Sony at the time. And we get it. I mean, you know, they wanted a band that was easy to promote, and we weren't the easiest to promote at the time because they weren't playing bands like us on the radio. So we got out of our contract, and we became free agents, and we kept going.
Well, that's kind of the point I was getting at when we first started talking about this, because you guys had broke right in the early 90s, and, you know, there was Skid Row and Poison and Motley Crue and all these bands that came out before you that had an established, you know, kind of catalog. You guys just broke out. Your debut record went, I think, two times platinum or something, and so it was just kind of like this weirdness that happened around your band because you guys were just a couple years late, you know?
Yeah, I always try not to think about that too hard. You know, that had we had another year or two of MTV and radio, the record sales would have probably followed, and we could have things would have been different. But you know what? I can't complain. We're still going, and we still got a gig, so
yeah.
Things are good.
Yeah, and it seems it's cool too how some of the bands have all of a sudden now it's like vinyl. Like I just recently got back into vinyl. It's like some of the bands like in your era and stuff, they're coming back with a vengeance, and they're playing their bigger and bigger shows and festivals and the whole thing.
Well, that's true, and there's a lot of promoters out there who were fans back in the day when we were selling a lot of records. They've become successful in businesses. A lot of times it's a different business other than the music business, and they decided they want to promote a show, and some of these cats are having huge successes with it because the fans are still there. It's just that the fans didn't have a place to go and listen to this music. And so, you know, you got a guy like the guy who promotes the shows at Rocklahoma or M3.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were told by everybody around them, oh, you know, you're taking a huge risk, you know, it'll never work, you know, do country or whatever. And these guys said, no, you know, I believe that this will happen. And what happened? Well, they sell out every year they do it, and they have huge successful shows, and people from all over the world come to their shows. So God bless those guys for having the balls to get out there and promote melodic hard rock.
Now, you've probably answered this question a bunch of times, but have you ever met the girl that's on the cover of your debut record?
We never got to meet her. We invited her to come to dinner one night, but she wasn't able to make it. We were in New York getting ready to, we were trying to get our album cover artwork together, and we picked her picture out of 20 models that had done a test shoot where it was all Polaroids, you know, you picked, and we thought she had a very interesting look, very beautiful, and her name was Bridget McClellan. And the rumor was that she was married to the lead singer for the band called Spread Eagle.
Oh, come on, Ray West, my boy, yeah, my friend?
So I don't know. So you can ask him.
I will ask him.
That's what the rumor was. And you know what? She's a beautiful girl, and she really fit the image that we were going for, which is the beautiful girl who was irritated with the band for one reason or another and just set the band house on fire. that's what the kind of meaning of that was. A lot of people, just looked at the picture is kind of a piece of art, but that's what it was. That's kind of the inside meaning of that.
You know, as you bring that up, I almost remember hearing that story. I'll have to get a hold of Ray. I talked to him last year. What a great guy he is. And that was a great debut record from those guys as well.
Switchblade Serenade was an awesome song, and I wish that we could have met them both. But in New York City, we were there for one night. Our record company got a hold of her, supposedly. Maybe she never got the call. I mean, who knows? But we, as a band, reached out through our label to get in touch with her, and then we went to dinner, and we were told that night that she was unable to make it. So we were bummed, but still, her face is all over. A couple million in the States and a couple million elsewhere in the world. So she's a beautiful girl.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, a couple more things about the early 90s with the Firehouse. The American Music Award, you guys won over Alice in Chains and Nirvana. And looking back on that now, it seems weird you guys are even put in the same category with those guys. But what are your thoughts about that first American Music Award? Do you have it still?
Oh, I absolutely do.
Yeah.
It was, we really did not think we were going to win that. I mean, Nirvana had changed the industry so much at that time, and Alice in Chains was, they're an awesome band, and they were all over the radio with great songs. And I guess what happened was the ballots went out to the people who voted for this award, and they were returned with the voting being cast before, Nirvana exploded.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that had those ballots gone out a week later, we might not have won that. But timing's everything.
That's right.
We'll take it.
As we were just talking about a few minutes ago, that's right. I know Kid Rock's here in Detroit, and he's got his American Music Award is at like one of the bars, restaurants in Clarkston by his house. He just gave it to him. He's like, here, you guys take this.
He's such a great guy, and I've met him a couple of times. And, what a cool dude, man. Awesome.
I'll tell you what, all of his records just appeared at my house last week in vinyl. It's crazy how that works.
So cool. Yeah, he's very eclectic, and he's extremely talented. I really, really respect that guy.
Yeah,
every time I've met him, he's been totally cool. And the people around him have been cool in letting me approach him and just say hey. And he's a cool dude.
Yeah, I consider Rock a friend, and he's a really great guy. He's always been real nice to me and my family. Let me ask you about this. I've thought about this since we got in contact with each other. Love of a lifetime. I mean, how many sports cars and houses and whiskey did you buy off of that song? I mean, that song. Listen, I'm going to preface this by saying I despise weddings. I don't go to weddings. It seems like forced fun to me. I just don't like them. But that song has been played at weddings. I mean, you guys must have made a fortune off that song.
Well, so that song went to number five, but to add pour salt in your wound of weddings. We also had a song. We had a song called "When I Look Into Your Eyes" that went to number seven, and that one is almost as equally used in weddings. So there's a lot of love coming out of our band. And the funny thing is that we have this other song on our first album called "All She Wrote," and we say that anybody is welcome to use that for the divorce.
That's right. For the opposite, that's right. That's "All She Wrote." I remember playing that song several times as a kid, but "Love of a Lifetime." I mean, you guys must have did real well with that song, huh?
Well, it's a song that really it hit people emotionally, and any time that you can write a song that people get an emotional response and it can become their song. Like I said, "When I Look Into Your Eyes," we've played weddings now for, it's now that, we can open up our gigs to a lot of different kind of venues. We've played weddings for people where they say, we want to dance to "When I Look Into Your Eyes," and we want you to play it. And we have another song called "I Live My Life for You," is on our third album, and people have used that as their wedding song too. So yeah, I mean, it's just wonderful that people can take a song that you had a part in and and have it means so much to them.
See, I try to use it.
I've had times in a meet and greet where I'm sitting down, you know, signing autographs, and a biker comes up, and I'm thinking, you know what, I'm about to get my ass kicked here. And the guy goes, I just want to let you know, love of a lifetime is me and my old lady's song. And I'm like, oh, man, I thought you were going to punch me in the face. So it's all good, man.
Yeah, I tried using shake and tumble at my wedding, the stripper pole and the whole thing, but the wife wouldn't go for it. But no, actually, I got married in Vegas because I just cannot stand weddings so much. But
there you go.
Just me and her. So anyways, let's get to what you got going on now. First of all, I wanted to ask you about Firehouse, like right now. Like, what's the deal with Firehouse as we stand right now?
Well, we're busy. We had last year was our busiest year we've had in a long time. We did almost 60 shows, and that's flying out. So we do these fly out dates where we, you know, hop on a plane at 6 a.m. Actually, you got to get up at 3 a.m. to catch that flight because you got to be there at the airport before, and we'll fly out somewhere on a Friday morning. And then if we're lucky, we get the gig on the Saturday night. So we'll fly somewhere Saturday morning to that Saturday night gig. And then we fly home on the Sunday, but we had a very busy summer last year. We're busier in the summer than we are in the winter, just by nature of kind of playing festivals and that kind of thing, those kind of events, you know. And we're still going strong and having a lot of fun and playing with a lot of other bands that we've been playing with for years. And every now and then we play with a new one where we go, wow, I wonder why it took us so long to be able to play with you guys, because we've been out for so long. And so like this last, I don't know, 6 months ago, we played with Stryper. It was the first time we've ever played with Stryper. And it's the show sold out, and we're like, gosh, we should do more of these. Why didn't we do these before? And it's just all timing and agents and promoters and luck. So we finally got to play with those guys. And, things are good. Firehouse is still going, and I hope everybody will come to a show soon.
Now, are you and CJ, are you guys like the only original members?
Michael Foster.
Oh, that's okay. Gotcha.
Our drummer is also, yeah. And I've been playing with him since 1984. So.
Yeah, didn't you guys get evicted? I think I read something from your rental home because you guys turned it into a studio.
Yeah, I mean, and it really wasn't as bad as the newspaper kind of made it out to look, but we definitely used the living room was a drum room, and it was all mic'd up and everything, so there are cables all over the floor and everything, and the guy read this article they did on us in the paper, and he walked in and he saw a drum kit with all these mic cables, and then the snake was going up the stairs into my bedroom, which was the control room, and he freaked out thinking we were, you know, messing up his house. But, you know, I tried to explain to the guy, look, we can wrap these cables up, and you know, none of the neighbors are complaining. We they were all invited to come over and, you know, party with us when we were recording, and so we had that worked out. But he was, you know, he was an elderly man, and he just freaked out, and he said, "Yo, I want you out of here." So we got out, we moved down to Charlotte, and that's where we. That's kind of where we got, when we got signed, we were living in Charlotte.
That's a classic story. You guys are probably so excited to get some sort of press and you're in the paper and all this stuff, then you get evicted.
Yeah, we thought, hey, this is all great. And so we got evicted, but actually moving down to Charlotte was one of those things we thought, what a pain, you know, but it worked out for us in the long run. Charlotte was a really great town for us to live in while we were trying to shop a record deal.
Now, have you ever played with Steel Panther, and what are your thoughts on that band?
Love that band. Haven't played with them yet, but we are playing with them this year at Rockin' Skull Fest in Illinois. However, I have played with the lead singer, not in the same band, but he was in another band before, and we were touring with that band. So that band being LA Guns.
Okay, yeah, short stint with LA Guns, probably, right, with Michael Starr there, yeah.
Right. So we were out touring with those guys, and he's a great guy and a great singer. And yeah, they're a great band. They're so entertaining. Love those guys.
Yeah, it's funny because
and I beg your pardon. We did do a show with them at M3 in Maryland 2-3 years ago.
But you haven't jumped up on stage with them yet.
No, not yet. If I got the invitation, though, I would do it in a heartbeat.
All right.
Awesome band.
We'll pass that along to Satchel. I just had him on the show, and Michael Starr has been on the show recently as well, so I love those guys. They just put out a new record, too. But getting back to what you got going on, so let me get this straight. So you got a studio in your house, and you record different bands and different things, and you also Skype guitar lessons?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I've Skyped with people all over the world. Sometimes the language barrier is a little tough, but they want to kind of just see how I approach guitar, my way of playing lead or rhythm guitar or some music theory or whatever. So I give lessons over Skype. It's been fun.
Now, is this studio that's in your house, is this in some of the videos that you have?
Or
are those videos shot somewhere else?
So a couple of them I have shot here in the studio, but I haven't done any in the control room that I'm trying to think of. We've done a lot of videos of my solo tunes here at the house because, you know, it's just
that's
easier.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, your own stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so there has been, like, there's a song called Strong that I did record here, and but I kind of had to rearrange the room a little bit because to make it look pretty for a video, because normally the studio, the drum room is like that old band house we had. There was cables everywhere and it was kind of a mess. So, but yeah, I did record that one in here actually. Yeah.
Now your latest song is You're a Natural, which is kind of one of those songs that's kind of misleading by the title right there. But You're a Natural Disaster. Is this song written about anybody in particular or about anything?
No, I just got the idea, you're a natural disaster, and I started writing the lyrics, trying to imagine what is this song going to be about. And so you've met a lot of those people, I'm sure, in your life who had all the potential in the world, and they turned out to be a mess. Whether it was somebody that you were dating, or whether it was somebody that was in your old school who was like a star athlete or whatever, who turned out to really just get in the way of themselves so much. So I try to make it about any one of those situations, but we've all met those natural disasters in our life who had all the natural ability, but they totally, sabotage themselves with either, behavior of some sort, or just their personality.
Now, it seems like a lot of your songs are more like, I shouldn't say more uplifting, but they seem like uplifting. I'm not saying that Firehouse was, dark or anything like that, but it seems like your songs are kind of uplifting, maybe even a little bit inspiring.
I don't know. It's like whatever comes out, I just try to go with it. And if some of them come out that way, that's great. I mean, I know Natural Disaster might not be so
right. No, yeah, that's not exactly what I was talking about, but there's some different ones.
Yeah, I've got some other ones that are, written about, love and there were strong relationships and stuff like that. But, for me, I'm just trying to come up with the next song, and whatever that subject matter or that theme is that seems like it's worth spending the amount of time that you got to do to take it to its completion, I'll go with it. If it's good enough, and if it's a dark thing, so be it. If it's an uplifting thing, so be it. I guess it's just an end result of whatever I'm going through at the time, or whatever my mood is at the time, or whatever kind of weird idea pops in my head.
I guess I just get like a positive energy from you and about your projects and what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I sure am having a good time doing it. I hope that, it comes out in the sound of the music.
Yeah. Talk about some of the bands and some of the stuff you record in your house, in your studio.
Well, I've been lucky. I've got a lot of bands here locally that have come here to record and have released records recently. There's a band called The Ivins, I-V-I-N-S. It just released an album, and it's so great. I was so glad to be a part of that. I mean, they recorded with a lot of other engineers and a lot of big name mix engineers and producers and whatnot, but they did a song here. I've recorded a couple of their songs. And then there's another band. They're kind of a modern hard rock pop band, contemporary stuff. There's another band that I recorded recently called One Way Ride, R-Y-D-E, One Way Ride. And they're kind of like, you know, a little bit like the Black Crowes, I would say, and a little bit like old Lynyrd Skynyrd and a little bit like Joe Bonamassa kind of songs. And they've recorded their first debut album here. Of course, it's the first. They recorded their debut album here. And they recorded a live album at the Beacon Theater here in Virginia. And I mixed that one. And so, you know, I get people who come in and record projects. I got a girl that just finished an album here. She's a kind of a folk country Patsy Cline kind of singer, and she recorded here, and I helped her with putting musicians, you know, to help produce her band, and we did the whole album, and she just released her album. Her name is Valerie Rourke, and I'm recording to all different kinds of genres, so it's fun to learn from all these people who play all kinds of different stuff, and you know, it's a learning experience all the time. I mean, that's what I love so much about music is that I'll never be an expert. I'm always going to be a student, and it's fun stuff to learn.
Just like hockey, you're never an expert.
Yeah, no, there's only one Gordie Howe.
Yeah, or Pavel Datsyuk. I guess he might be an expert. But
there you go.
Hey, just a couple more things here for you, Bill, and we'll cut you loose. Of the guitarists from the 2000s, I was just talking to Zachy Vengeance yesterday. Back in the 80s and stuff, in the early 90s, there was guitar heroes. I mean, you know, anything from Mick Mars to CC DeVille, or, guys that just do guitar solos and the whole thing. The 90s came along, Jerry Cantrell and stuff like that, and then the early 2000s came along, and it seemed like the guitar hero kind of took a back seat for a little while, but now it seems to be coming back. Any guitarists from the 2000s that you like?
There are so many, and I'm trying to think of, the first name that comes to mind is this guy named Guthrie Govan, G-O-V-A-N. He probably pronounces it Govan. Mm. He's an English guy, plays with a band called The Aristocrats, and he's also does his solo stuff, but he's a maestro, so I'll throw that name out there. He's just amazing.
What about, I just talked to Alex Skolnick last week from Testament. There's been a lot of musical deaths this year between Paul O'Neill and Alan Holdsworth and guys like that. You got any thoughts about some of these guys?
Well, Alan Holdsworth was a huge influence on me. I'll never be able to play any of his stuff, but I could listen to it, and just my jaw would drop every time. There's been no guitar musical genius that came close to what Alan Holdsworth did. And I would urge everybody out there who hasn't heard that name to research Alan Holdsworth and listen to his playing, and you'll never hear anything like that. I mean, this guy pioneered the electric guitar like nobody else ever has, and I can't believe, that he's gone, and I still don't know exactly what happened. I know he had an illness that he was dealing with, but I'm not sure exactly what that was. I think the family's keeping it private, but that guy was the best guitar player I think that's ever lived.
Mm, what about Chuck Berry?
Oh, yeah. Well, talk about pioneering. I mean, he started it all for everybody. I mean, Elvis Presley and Chuck Berry or why we have rock and roll, I think.
Yeah. All right, final thing here for you, Bill, and then we'll cut you loose to get back in your studio, and I really appreciate the time. This has been great. What would your super group be if you could play with anybody?
Wow. So, without giving it enough thought, I'm going to, because I don't want to eat up too much of your time.
You're good.
I'd say I always like John Bonham's groove, so I think John Bonham on drums would be a guy that I would love to play with. I think on bass, I'd probably go with one of the, I'd say Stanley Clark, because he's got all the chops and he's also got a lot of groove. We'd have to put another guitar player in there so that we could do some harmony solos and stuff. And I'd like to have two guitar players, if I may.
Yeah.
I'd like to have Jeff Beck in there, and I'd like to have Steve Morse.
All right.
Because I could learn so much from both of them, and then after being in a band with them, I might improve. And then, I think on keyboards, I'd probably go with probably Rick Wakeman. You know, I like his keyboard styles a whole lot. And then for a lead singer, you know, that's where it's really tough, because that's kind of the overall sound of the band. I'm going to go with Paul Rogers.
Paul Rogers. All right. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, listen, Bill, it's been awesome catching up and talking to you. Firehouse, you guys got dates this year then in the summertime?
Oh, yeah.
Tons of them.
We're going to Texas here real soon. So.
Okay. Tons of dates. And you can check out the website as well. Give everybody your website.
So it's firehousemusic.com, and my personal one is leverty.com.
And you're on Twitter and Instagram and the whole thing.
Yeah, at Twitter it's @Leverty. I don't go to Instagram that much, but I need to start doing that. My wife tells me, you need to do more Instagram, but I just don't take a lot of pictures. So
you know what? I love pictures, and growing up in the 80s and stuff, you always had to wonder what the bands were doing, and I've talked about this before, but it's like now some of the bands are really good at it, and you know, you don't have to wonder too much anymore, which I'm not sure if it takes the fun away or it adds to the fun. I'm not exactly sure, but I think it's kind of cool, some of the pictures that some of these guys show. Like John 5, for example. He's from Detroit. You know John 5 from Rob Zombie's band?
Great guitar player.
Yeah, he's constantly putting pictures up there, and it's really cool to see all the stuff that he's doing. So
yeah, I need to take a page out of his book and get my ass on Instagram more often.
Hey, you got a teenage daughter or something, don't you?
I do.
There you go. Have her teach you all the ropes, like mine
That's
did.
Right. She knows all about it.
Hey, listen, when you become our age and there's always a computer issue or computer problem, I always look for the youngest person in the room.
She's my tech support. That's right.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, good luck this year. And next time you're in the Motor City, by all means, you got to hook up.
Meltdown, thanks so much for having me, brother.
That was awesome. Haven't talked with one of the guys from Firehouse in quite a long time. And Bill was nice enough to get on the horn and fill you guys in on what he's been doing and what's been going on with the band. And, of course, his solo stuff. As a matter of fact, going to play that track, You're a Natural, coming up here in just a second as I wrap up this edition of Radio Chatter. Like he said, follow him on Twitter @Leverty and punch up his pages on the World Wide Web and on Instagram and whatever. You can follow me @MeltdownWRIF, which is most of my stuff. Whether it be Facebook or Instagram or the Twitter machine or what have you. If you like this podcast, please subscribe. Maybe even give us a 5-star rating or a 1-star. I don't really care. Just give us some sort of rating and write a review. It's all good. Coming up in a couple of days, I'm going to be talking with Steven Richards from the band Taproot. Remember those guys? They were really going places in the early 2000s. And then the record company kind of bailed on them. Some different things happened. And we talk a lot about that. We talk about the beginning all the way till now with what Taproot's been doing, as well as Steven's health issues. He's had some seizures. So that comes up here in a couple days on Radio Chatter. So keep checking back. I've got some cool interviews lined up. Of course, Rock in the Range is coming up too. And we'll be talking with all sorts of bands and putting together a special podcast that following week as well with some of your favorites from the Rock in the Range lineup. In the meantime, as promised, this is Bill and his track, You're a Natural. Thank you guys so much for checking out Radio Chatter.
let you in. And I'd turn you back if I only knew the kind of trouble that you put me in.